and then Charlie will come and deliver the word to us today.
We'll be in Acts chapter 10 today. We'll also be looking at Exodus chapter 20. Acts chapter 10, Exodus chapter 20. Father, I pray this day that the presence of your Holy Spirit would be here and be felt. I pray that the words you lay on my heart are words that you would have spoken. I pray that your name and the name of Christ would be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, and a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. We know from this passage of Scripture that what he was trying to show Peter was that he was changing things. Salvation had been for the Jewish people. That was kind of the God for us mentality. God was for the nation of Israel. During Jesus' time, it was God with us. But he was still, Jesus was here really for the nation of Israel, for the Jewish people. But it was God with us. What he's showing Peter here would come in the form of Cornelius' invitation to his house. But it really is the idea of God in us through the Holy Spirit. He was trying to show Peter that no longer was salvation something just for the Jewish people, but that it was something for everyone. Because he was going to make available for everyone salvation, not just for the Jewish people. He was in the process of changing things. This isn't about dietary restrictions or things like this. It's about what God does in us. And you see, today, I think we're still doing some of this. We're treating some of the things of God as common. We tend to look at each other as common. We tend to think about church as common. We came to church today because it's what we do on Sunday morning. It's just kind of common. We take this miracle of salvation as something that just happened to us when we made the right decision. But what he says here in Scripture is what God has cleansed is not common. God has cleansed me. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has cleansed you. It's not a common thing. It's not a common relationship. If you've experienced the fall in a marriage, and yet you're sitting here today in a godly marriage, that's not common. If you've experienced the power of Jesus Christ to heal your body, that's not common. If you went through financial difficulties and have lived to see the other side, that's not a common thing. These are all things that, most of us in our walk with Christ will go through. And at the time we say thank you, and yet a couple years later, that experience has just become common. But the Holy Spirit, through this vision of Peter's, is trying to tell us this isn't common. What you've seen is the hand of God at work in your life. It's not a common thing. One of the keys to getting into heaven is to get saved and never get over it. Okay? It's not common. Imagine for a moment that you have a child. That child went down to the pond and fell in and died. And the people of the church gathered around and prayed for that child. And it came back to life. Would you consider that common? Not at all. And yet when I read Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. See, that's who's standing in front of you. Someone that was dead and is now alive. Not because of some great power that I have, but because of Jesus Christ. Do we really understand we were dead? And we're now alive. You are already part of a resurrected life. How can we treat that as common? 1 Timothy 5:6 says, "But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives." That's how this happens. All of us, if we're saved, all of us at one time were walking dead men, walking dead people. And now we stand in a resurrected life, born from above. That's born of the Spirit, born from above. God put a new life in us. And He gives everyone that opportunity. Whether we take it or not, we have that opportunity. Don't count it. We move on to Exodus chapter 20. And I think what we see here, what the lesson is behind all of this, is what common looks like and how that transitions in the lives of Christians. In Exodus chapter 20, we're dealing with the Ten Commandments. In verse 7, we'll deal with the third one. And I happen to believe that the Ten Commandments are really built about on principles. That if you look at the Ten Commandments, there's a principle behind every one of them. This one, I think, is the principle of humility. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." And I've experienced it. I've heard people talk about it. I'm sure at one time I thought the same thing. Taking the name of the Lord God in vain is not one word. It's not one cuss word. Okay? That's not what it means here. The name of the Lord is His very character, His very nature. The name of the Lord God is used over 6,000 times in the Old Testament alone. It's a big deal to Him. Even the Lord's Prayer starts with, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. Set apart is thy name. Of great and marvelous works is thy name. When Israel went into exile in 594 BC, they went into exile because they had profaned the name of God. So the Jewish people, in knowing that, around 600 BC, decided they wouldn't speak the name of God. That way they couldn't use it in vain or profane the name of God. But really, what God was saying to them wasn't, it's how you speak the name, but how you live your lives that has profaned the name of God. They were profaning his name with the way they lived. Wherever they went, they were worshiping idols, and they were taking on the character and nature of the land that they went into. That's how they were profaning the name of God. You couldn't tell the difference between the Jewish people and the people of the land that they were in. What does that sound like today in our culture and environment? I mean, seriously, and this isn't me chewing here. I'm trying to remind you of God's character and nature. One of the ways that we can profane the name of God is to take on the name of a Christian, which means Christ-like, and yet not live like Christ. We're profaning his name when we do that. All through Scripture, the name of the Lord, the name of God, is interchangeable with his character, with his person. In Ezekiel 36, beginning in verse 20, when they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. You want to know how the world knows that there's something different about you? It's when you take on the character of Jesus Christ. When you become more like Jesus Christ, the world will notice, because there's something different. Because we're holding up his name. In Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. Notice the name of the Lord. Psalms 27, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of Lord our God. John 17, verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Jesus' prayer, recorded in John, he mentions the name of the Lord as being important to keeping the disciples. In verse 11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me. We hear again, in your name. It's the same as God. It's his character. It's who he is. In verse 12 it says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Romans 10, 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't say whoever calls on the Lord. It says whoever calls on the name of the Lord. You see, they're one. They're one thing. That's why profaning the name of the Lord is about him. Okay? This commandment is about counting the things of God as common. It's about us standing in humility, recognizing the greatness, the authority, the majesty, the honor, the glory of God Almighty. And yet him being a part of our life. We don't count those things as common. I think we have a tendency today to even count the things of God as common, taking his name in vain, sometimes in prayer. The example in the scripture of that would be in Acts 19, beginning in verse 13. Some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? They were trying to gain some kind of authority in the name of Jesus and had no idea who they were talking to. There wasn't a respect, there wasn't an honor, there wasn't a power in what they were doing, because quite honestly, it was fake. And sometimes I think we do that. We get up in the morning and we know we're supposed to pray every morning, and instead of talking to God about what his will for our life that day is, instead of submitting to his authority, we give him our to-do list. Bless Mary and Jane and Jack and John. Heal this one and that one. Kind of busy, I gotta run. I'll see you later, Lord. Is that our prayer life? Or is our prayer life more, hallowed be thy name? You're holy and mighty and righteous. How can I serve you today? You see the little difference in attitude and how we treat his name? I think his name is profaned in prophecy, and that's going on today, I believe. In Jeremiah 23:25, I've heard what the prophets have said and prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesied lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. There are a lot of people, even today, that are standing up saying, the Lord says. as if they've received some new word from God. And I believe wholeheartedly God still speaks to us today. Okay? Don't misunderstand me here. But there are people who are standing up saying, this is the word of the Lord. I've got some new revelation. And it's deceitful. And they're after someone's money, not honoring God. That's counting the things of God as common. The scary part about this commandment, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Guiltless, that word translated would be unpunished. God will not hold them unpunished that take the name of the Lord in vain. Jeremiah 14. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say, sword and famine shall not be in the land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. God, living up to the promise he made in Scripture. The very thing that they said is not going to happen, he said, I'll use that and it'll happen to them. To make them look foolish. Because they were counting those things that just ran through their head as if it was God's word. As if he had spoken. There was no honor. There was no respect. They weren't trying to move people to a better place. They were trying to stand out more than God. What got Satan thrown out of heaven? He tried to say, I'm going to be higher than God. I'm going to take God's place. My name is holier than God's. It's a serious deal. We're still doing that. But I got great news for you. Even if we've done this, even if we've counted the things of God as common, even if we've taken the name of the Lord in vain. And you know what? Almost all of us have. At some time in our life, we didn't look at the things of God as holy and righteous. Jesus came. See, God says in the Old Testament, this won't go unpunished. But under the covenant of grace, Jesus said, I'm going to take all your punishment on myself. He took all the punishment due me, due you, and carried it. And there are people walking around today, even in the church, and they're thinking that they're being punished by God. That makes the word of God common because Jesus said he was taking all of our punishment. Right? Am I misinterpreting scripture here? Because I would think that somebody could get excited about the fact that you're sitting there knowing that you deserved a punishment and Jesus carried it for you, and you can sit there and treat it as common. It's not common. He worked a miracle for you on that day on the cross. And he went ahead and then gave us something great. That the Holy Spirit could be in us. That if we could believe it, we could know the power of Jesus Christ's walk. in our walk in the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about a baptism of power. That's what Jesus said. When John prophesied about Jesus, he said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. Not common. He didn't baptize us with common. He baptized us with the Spirit of his own Spirit, that we could walk in power. And what we don't understand about Scripture sometimes, there's three baptisms mentioned in Scripture, and we only want to talk about two of them in the church. And the one we leave out is Jesus Christ baptizing us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Are more than common. God cleansed us with the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not common anymore. Stand in the power and position that Jesus Christ has given us by his blood, by his atonement, his choice to redeem us. We don't have to be a dead church. We can choose to be. By counting the things of Christ as common. But we don't have to be. God gave Jesus the authority over everything in heaven and earth, and Jesus gave it to us. And we walk far below our potential. And we walk in fear of the world, and we're trying to make the church look like the world, thinking it's more inviting. It's not. What you do is say there's nothing special here. When you count the things of Christ as common, you're telling the world there's nothing special here. There is something special here.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is not a common Savior. God is not a common Father. The Holy Spirit is not common in power. If we walk in the Spirit, we're not common people. He's not a common God. Jesus Christ was not common. And he didn't save common people. You're not common. You walked in thinking you were common, and some of you are going to walk out thinking. You're special to Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, sinless, holy, righteous. He redeemed you. He paid the price for you. He took your punishment. He took your sin. And he carried it voluntarily. Yourself common. Can we just give him a shout of praise today? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Bless his name.
Amen.
I've been redeemed.
I've been
saved.
Hallelujah.
God thinks I'm special. I was dead and lived. God thinks I'm special.
That's right.
And he does you too.
He does.
I've been redeemed. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you that your name is holy and righteous. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you that you paid the price of redemption. Father, I'm sorry for the times I counted your name as common. May you take this life and the lives of these people and use them to glorify your name. O King of Kings and Lord of Lords, holy are you. I praise you and give you glory. In Christ's name I pray.